noticed I used the word labor in that prayer. The name of our sermon this morning is God's Wrath is Meted Out. God's Wrath is Meted Out. And in Bible study, we've been studying the wrath of God, and that it's not like the wrath of man, but it's a calculated judgment against anger. It is a determined judgment. And man, I'm not going to say doesn't have the ability to do it. It's just that God gives those by His Spirit the ability to do it and to mete out judgment and to walk in the judgment of God. But it is not of this nature for us to do that. And as we come before the people on this Sabbath day and this rest, Lord God, that we want to get over to You how that God brought the prophet to the point in which he is today, in which he elaborates on some of the reasons why he has him in the position of in the position that he's in, the life that he's living in his circumstances. Hopefully we can see our lives and just what directions we may have taken the wrong way, or what directions that we're in that we need the Lord to get us out of those ways, but that we have to take heed to His Word and see the duality of God. When I say duality, is that God's working a work. He's working a work of judgment. He's judging this present world. But also God is creating man in His image and in His likeness. Now we can become workers of God with that creation, with creation along with our Creator. We can labor, but it's a labor in which we establish in the kingdom of God by faith. It is not nothing that we're doing in and of ourselves. It's that God graced us with the faith to work toward establishment of the kingdom. And we're going to need to look at this because just as it was with Judah, there are perilous times coming up on us. And if we don't know how to deal with it and walk along with God in this, as Enoch walked with God, every prophet, every born-again believer, every believer in biblical times that has gotten through perilous time had to be in communication with God, had to walk with God. So as we see that, we want to look at the opening of our message this morning, the 16th chapter of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. For thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place, and concerning their mothers that bear them, that, and concerning their fathers that beget them in this land, they shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. That was God's word to Jeremiah. And I told you last week that I was going to elaborate on it because God had told Jeremiah that he shouldn't get married. We're not saying that that's a word for all generations to all people, but we see that word was given by permission by the Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians. We see that there were some of the prophets that were married, but if you read Fox's books of Mars about the apostles and what happened with them and some of their families, you'll see that God required a strong man. Adam wasn't that man. The second Christ was that man. And the apostles, as they began to know God and Jesus was talking with them about marriage, and they kind of said, well, it's good for a man not to be married then. And Jesus said, well, to him that is gifted with that, it may be, but for some it doesn't have that, don't have that gift. And we see God must have strengthened Jeremiah because there were times of loneliness with Jeremiah. We see his times of loneliness. And a lot of times men that are working or men that go out sometime that labor in the world and they come home and they abide confide in their wives with the things that are going on during the day, the things that are going on in life or whatever. And a lot of times that's their strength, or that helps them out or whatever. And to that individual or that person, I as a pastor, I guess I understand that. But I understand also the apostle Paul in Jeremiah about some men, it would have been better for them not to be married. Some men that had been married before can tell you, you know, from their experience, that they wouldn't get married again. It may not be better for them to be married. It might not have been good for them to be married because it takes a particular kind of man. It takes a man that God has blessed with a gift to manage a family. And that's not a very easy gift. And I don't take any credit for anything that's went on in my family or any of the fortunes or misfortunes that my children have or whatever. I may take credit for the misfortunes because it was something in me, I think, that may have hindered that. But anything good, God had did that. God developed strong families. God does all that. And there's nothing good in us. But Jeremiah, for some reason or another, God wanted him without a family. I don't know if it was because of his disposition, because I talked to you about Jeremiah's attitude. And during this time, he was about to take Judah away captive. Jeremiah couldn't have been an emotional person. God didn't want him with those type of emotions. And we see where he even told Ezekiel that he was going to take his wife away and that he didn't want Ezekiel to cry. He didn't want him to mourn for his wife or whatever. That takes a certain strength that a lot of men don't possess. So maybe that was the reason he allowed Ezekiel to get married, maybe not Jeremiah, because Ezekiel could tough that out, but Jeremiah probably couldn't, being the sensitive type person that he was. And a lot of us are very sensitive, and we see where the Lord wasn't married, and that Paul probably had been married, but probably had gotten a divorce, and probably was divorced since he probably had to be married to become a Pharisee, but he wasn't any longer married. I don't know whether his wife accepted holiness or whether she had passed or whatever, but it seems as though he wasn't at this time. So Jeremiah was told not to mourn or weep for the people. And in this past week gone, I think I've heard about it once or twice or whatever, about the massacre that occurred in whatever place it was, Connecticut or whatever. But I had been following, you know. My wife looks at those kind of things, and I look at it differently. You know, as you come into the church, as men go into the church that God has chosen for certain things or put aside, I don't really know the end particulars of it. I say, what about this young man that did this? What are they thinking or praying about him? And I've seen something online about his mother. They had only put a few things on her grave or thought about her or whatever. But you have to think about all three sides, his side, her side, and the children, and the people involved in that. Jeremiah was told not to mourn or weep for what was coming on the land. So that was a lot of death of children during Jeremiah's time. Massacres of children. And, you know, it takes a strong man not to mourn and not to belabor that point, because all that's part of the cost of serving God and part of the cost of the world. That was during the Katrina flood. That was during the days of Noah also, because the children were right out there suffering those deaths also. If we look at the Iraqi war and we look at Fahrenheit 9/11 or whatever, where Michael Moore portrayed war over there, how they had the children, they would just throw them in the back of a truck that American bombs had blown to pieces and were just demolished children, whereas this woman was crying out to God and saying, Allah, God help us, God, and all of this destruction that was going around. And like I said, it takes a certain person to be able to stomach that and walk through that. But you have to see that this is part of God's creation, and God is shaping and forming it, but he's also shaping his leaders and shaping the people at the time. And for Jeremiah's sake, it was going to be better that he not be married, because this would break him down. His wife might break him down during this time, looking at this and bemoaning this and belaboring that. You have to see it, and you have to be able to go on. You have to be able to judge during those times and keep a clear mind during those times. But there are certain sensitivities that are born in women that are not necessarily born in some men, that they can't be emotional in this. They have to be clear-headed about this and keep going. There were a lot of people that had tended to people at the scene or whatever, and was breaking them up or whatever. But like I said, after all, it takes a certain type of people to handle that. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 1 Corinthians, the 6th through the 9th verse, and I see what he means, and I meet men every day and people every day that if my advice was to ask any of force in the matter, I think they should do that also. As Paul says, verse 6, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. In other words, as a father to a child or to his children or to some of the people or to another guy, to see certain things in that guy, whatever, that probably is going to be a problem. See, it would have been better for Ahab and Solomon not to marry. They were weak men. You know, it takes a strong man to be married, because the woman, in the beginning, God had set that between a woman and a man that her desires could be to you, and most men aren't that strong to be able to control. They're mostly ones that have been controlled or be controlled. And that's why Paul said this during this time, his time and other times. He said, I speak by permission and not by commandment. For I would that all men were even as myself, that they were without wife or without spouse at that time, he says, but every man had his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that manner. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. If you're unmarried, it's better to stay that way. If you're a widow or something, it's better to remain that way. Your life is going to be better, and you can serve God better, because all people don't have that gift of that power to be married. They're not going to be able to serve God, because they will have a tendency to not have the strength to resist idolatry, and their children, grandchildren, wives, all that will become their gods. They will serve those. They'll put those before God. Those will come before God. And in the end, what happens, you lose them and you lose God. Once you begin to do that, you know, you come back and look at it, and you have a lot of broken homes and broken families. And if you admit to it, you wasn't strong enough. You was the one who caused the problem, because the woman just was doing what comes natural to her. But you didn't have the strength or ability to say no. You didn't have the emotional fortitude to stand against those things in which were allowed to break you down. And Jeremiah was told, don't marry, Jeremiah. It's better for you. And Paul said, it is better for some people at that time not to be married. He says, unto the married I command you, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put his wife away. So if you're already married or whatever, and there's going to be different religious beliefs there, there's going to be a different way of walking or whatever, but God says it's better to go each other's way and not remarry, not have conjugal relations with others. And if you have to have that type of relationship, go back to your husband or your wife, but don't don't enter into defilement. He says, and the woman which had a husband, and believe it not, and if he pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the unbelieving, and the wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God had called us to peace. That's why it says there, that's why preachers and things this day, a lot of them will start to understand that there are people in marriages and things with irreconcilable differences. That this wasn't meant to be, and it was united by the lust of the flesh, the lust of earthly desire, and driven by those passions, and that sometimes it is better to depart. We read in the paper a whole lot of times where they kill one another. One didn't kill the other one. And this is, and all that because they didn't see the wisdom in that they wasn't compatible. That both of them didn't have God in their lives. And instead of dwelling in peace and being separated, they're saying, well, God has said no divorce of this, but that still drove you to kill her. It'd have been better for you to be divorced away from her than let that drive you to killing her and her boyfriend or her husband. I mean, her estranged husband. You didn't kill her and her new boyfriend or this or that because you are emotionally attached and couldn't say, well, it's better that we do depart. So he told Jeremiah to stay separate or apart from that. And Paul was dealing with the same thing in his time because it was perilous times, and we're dealing with the same things at this day and time. And the problem is that there are not enough fathers in the homes. And as I say that, there are not enough godly fathers. And we have to say the word godly in there because what happens is the wife, the children, of the husband, all that has been turned over to reprobated minds because of their lifestyle, and it's been passed on from generation to generation. That woman's daughter is just like her. That man's son is just like him. And it's been passed on from generation to generation, and all of y'all are no good. All of y'all deserve judgment, and can't nobody break that line of that chain of cursed children, of cursed people. Jeremiah had to stand in the gap to break this line. If we keep going there about the marriage before we leave the subject, go all the way down to the 17th verse of 1 Corinthians. It says, but as God had distributed to every man, as the Lord had called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called to be circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called to uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Well, a lot of people join the church because their wives say, well, join this church, join this. And if you don't have a heart for God, or God is not compelling you to do that, he says it's better to remain uncircumcised. Isn't it? It's better not to go in that church and become a proselyte that's worse than the one that brought you in that church. See, because a lot of people are in churches because their spouse says, come over to my church and have a good time. Or somebody meets them and says, this is the religion that's driving me. This is what brings me, not examining themselves. That circumcision there is a circumcision not of the flesh. It's a spiritual circumcision because it's born out of idolatry. We see here Paul was talking to spiritual people at Corinth, which where a bunch of carnal Christians was. That was the required judgment because, like I said, at the time of Jeremiah and at this present time, there are more uncircumcised people in the church than it is circumcised. Thus, God has to bring judgment upon the church. It's so many people, if people wouldn't allow to bring those pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter into the church, and then the preacher give over, people give over to the concession because everybody else is doing. And Jeremiah had to stay away from that. Don't marry into that group because you can't overcome them. They will overcome you and they will have your thoughts as their thoughts. And you will leave God, walk away from God, and before long you will be celebrating as they're doing, and you will bring that paganism into the church. You can bring that paganism before God. And that's what happened when they went to Babylon. They started to worship all of the other idols and gods and goddesses in Babylon. They were given to other religions because they were marrying and intermarrying. Jeremiah was a sign that there was something different. That it wasn't going to be as the days and times of Noah. There wasn't going to be giving and marriage. There was going to be a difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy. That as God called them apart, they was going to have to suffer, but they would have to suffer and enter into God's rest. See, we would rather say, well, everybody else is doing this. Everybody else is celebrating Christmas and New Year's and Easter, and I just want us to do it too, to have fun. God don't want us to have fun. See, that was the problem. They didn't mourn and sign for the things that was going on in the world. They mourned and signed emotionally because they had lost something. They were losing material things. They were losing children. But these were the idols that they were losing. It was God that was taking them away. It was God that was doing all this. And that's why he said, don't get hooked up with them, Jeremiah, because you will get caught up in this well. You will be entangled in the affairs and the things of this world. Their sicknesses will come upon you. Their desires will come upon you. You will stand for their paganism. But he's, as he said, verse 19, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he will call. Of that call being a servant, care not for it, but if thou mayest be free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You become a servant of Christ, a servant of God. Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, but yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife, seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife, seek not to be bound. For this present distress, for this time that's going on. Sometime you have to loose. That's why there are divorces nowadays. Because God said he was going to come in. He was going to set a family at variance with one another. The husband against the wife, the daughter-in-law against the father-in-law, the son-in-law against the mother-in-law. God was going to do that because some of these people start wising up and say, she's just like her mother. I need to cut her loose. He's just like his father. I need to cut him loose. Because all it's going to do is subvert me and my household. All it's going to do is stop me from following God. You have to submit to God. God, he didn't come to bring peace. He said he come to bring sword. It is time for judgment. God is measuring out on his wrath. And as he pours out that wrath that we see in the bowl, in the book of Revelation, the bowls of his wrath, those vials that he's unlocked, this is measured and meted for each and every one of us. He says, I'll choose your delusions. Now, if you're a child of God, that's chastening from the Lord. It is chastening that you lose your children. It is chastening that you lose your husband, or you lose your job, or you lose some other thing. That's why Job said, shouldn't we rejoice? Shouldn't we not follow the Lord if he allow bad to happen to us and not just good? His wife said, oh, this is going on, Job. You didn't lose your children. You didn't lose all. Won't you curse God and die? No, I'm still God's servant no matter what God does to me. All that is this chastening from the Lord. Job was chastened by the Lord. Even though it came through Satan with the instrument which it came from, we see that God's hand was in this. What happens when you stand up and listen at your wife? What happens when you are Ahab, that you listen at your wife? When you are Adam, you listen at your wife. You are Abraham, and you listen at your wife. He told Adam, because you had listened to your wife and did this. He told Abraham, because you had listened at Sarah and went into this bondwoman. He told Ahab, because you had listened to your wife Jezebel, you've been worse than any king in Israel. Solomon, because you have listened to these women and they've drawn your heart away from it. And read Timothy, the woman was deceived, but Adam was in transgression because he disobeyed God. He knew it was bad. A lot of us know it's bad, that it's wrong, and we still listen to our wives because they have that power over us. That's the power given by Satan when he said, you'll be as gods. They are as gods to those men. To some men, that is their God, their wives. To some wives, that is their gods. Their children are their gods. That's their idols. That's what they labor for. That's what their hope is in. That's what he was telling Jeremiah. I don't want you to get tangled up in this, Jeremiah. Don't get tangled up in that. He was protecting Jeremiah. He didn't allow that. There's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of reckoning. And today is the day of judgment. That's what he tells us a lot of times. Today is the day of judgment. We don't realize that. It may be your day of judgment. It may not be another day for you. That may be it for you. Those that died, even though those two young ladies died that were shoplifting at the mall and they ran their vehicle and the sheriff is rebuking the police. Says, that was too extreme. You didn't have to chase them like that to cause this to happen. It was just clothes. You see, sometimes the law takes things to extreme. But they were also shoplifted. But they died because of the disobedience of breaking the law of shoplifting. Even though the law was too extreme in carrying out this wrath. See, but God allows all these things to happen, though. These things do happen. So there's a day of reckoning. Let's look at this, he says. Verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament or not mourn them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, said the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried. Neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. See, as the nation was mourning all at the same time yesterday, it's going to get worse than that. Let's see how long you're going to mourn. Because it's going to get worse. These idiots at the National Rifle Association said, I tell you what, our remedy to that is put armed guards in all the schools. That remedy ain't going to work. Nothing's going to work. It's just like Jeremiah. You're just lamenting. You couldn't avoid that. You can't avoid when death knocks on your door. When God sends death, he said, small and great. This is going to happen. You think that's it? It's going to be many or more children die. It's going to be many or more old people die. It's going to be many or more of your relatives die. That's what he was telling Jeremiah. Don't go getting involved in this crying and whining because that's the destiny of it. That's the destiny of it, Jeremiah. He says, because I'm bringing this judgment. This judgment is from me. God's bringing this down upon the nations. God's bringing this throughout the world. These earthquakes, these judgments, these things that's befalling the world. It's because what? Of your fathers. It's because of your sin. It's because of our hardened hearts. It hadn't got to the place where it was. Jesus Christ said there's going to be wars, rumors of war. It's going to be calamity, distress, pestilence. Jesus Christ prophesied all these things. And you mean to tell me that man has an answer to get around this? Physical cliff is just one of them. That's not going to be the end of it. You're going to have worse problems coming up in the new year. Because why? We're in the day of God's wrath. But he was telling Jeremiah these things so Jeremiah can keep himself clear of these things. He can keep himself shy. He doesn't get entangled in these affairs. So he says, don't go to these places. He says, neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to eat and drink with them. The little repast that they have after that. Now I'm not saying that this is not going to happen and that we're not going to deal with that. I'm not saying don't go to funerals. God wasn't saying that. That the type, what he's having Jeremiah to show this, if this is the norm, that God's people, that's why you see it, a lot of holiness funerals in there, saying people are rejoicing. People says he's in a better place, that he's not dead, or that this person is with the Lord. In other words, that their troubles are over with. Jesus said, weep not for me. You weep for your sons and daughters. The problem is coming up the highway. It's not for me that you should weep. You see, that person's gone, man. Oh, it's over with for them. But the crying and the loneliness is because of what you have to go through. It's what's going on there. I didn't say not to be cordial. I didn't say to be disrespectful. But this is not the norm. In other words, as we trying to make it a national thing, everything we socialize and try to make occasion for. If they wasn't selling assault rifles, if this woman hadn't bought that same assault rifle that her son shot up the people with. Because if we were living biblically, what does the Bible say? It would say tear up your constitution, because that constitution was there for at that time. It served good during the times of the founding fathers, the right to bear arms. But it was the society they was living in. So it comes a time, it was a time for them to have the right to bear arms. But now it may be in biblical times, as we'll see in Amos and Joel, when God says, beat your weapons into plowshares. Take your nuclear plants and transform them into energy producing plants to produce clear energy, to produce lights and water, not to make nuclear bombs with. Take your stealth missiles and all the money that you're putting in defense, beat those weapons into plowshares. There's going to be a day that you don't have any weapons. That's God's thought. It's not putting more armed guards in the prison, in the schools. You fight evil with evil. You telling somebody, the wrath of man working not the righteousness of the wrath of God. These aren't the solutions. That's the NRA solution, was to be able to sell assault rifles and all this, and you have your gun shows, and nationally people are buying up more guns now. So you mean tell me you fit to protect yourself from these things that are coming? Or are you setting yourself up for as a melee? Usually your children are wanting to get out and shoot up the whole place. And then you're on television crying and then going on. You know those weapons were there. See, God's going to eradicate the earth of all of these things. That's true religion. That's true religion where these weapons won't be out there, because you don't hunt an animal with all these types of weapons anyhow. That's not fair gaming. What chance does an animal stand against some of the weaponry we had today? And it's no longer a sport. It's no longer just to feed your family. A lot of them have a day where they give away all the wild game that they didn't kill during the year, because they don't eat it. They throw it away. They give it away. Because why? You go to a store and buy something. You see, we have to adapt to the time. That's why God's word is progressive. It's ever changing. We don't live in a agrarian society as we used to, where the rain of thing would affect our living. But God has it to affect it in ways that hurt our economy now, because though there are ways that he still gets to us. So we have to start rethinking God and rethinking our living. That's why he had Jeremiah redoing this a different way, because with Jewish men doing those times, that's not during Paul's time. We see during the New Testament time, they'll say forbidding to marry, that they'll be commanding to abstain. Well, this wasn't a thing. This was, like I said, this was a type of God saying things not going to proceed as normally when he told Jeremiah not to marry, because, you know, that was something that wasn't Jewish. Jewishism promotes a large family. It promotes men getting married. It's not like the Roman Catholic Church that forbidden priests or marrying to remain celibate or whatever. God wasn't stating that. That's not a scripture to build that dogma on. But God was making a difference here between Jeremiah and the people at that time. But that day of reckoning was coming there. He was saying, as we go on in chapter 16, he says, thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting, for thou sayest the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. In other words, oh, next Tuesday they go feast. Christmas, New Year. That's what they're looking for, a satisfaction of the flesh. God told Jeremiah, stay away from that, Jeremiah. So let's see, he will stay away from the house of mourning. He will stay away from all of this kind of stuff. So what? Is it going to be like John the Baptist? Say, John the Baptist came neither eating and drinking with you, and you say he had a demon. Well, that's kind of to this extreme to that way, because Jesus was using that example himself, because he said he came eating and drinking with the people. They called him a wine bibber and a glutton. God has his types and anti-types in both of them. So we have to see why God is doing that at that. He's saying, Jeremiah, don't get carried away with the idolatry, because they could go into Babylon and adopt their holidays and adopt their feast. They are including God in that, and they're using God's name in vain. That's using God's name frivolously. It's not, you're talking about his birthday. You're using that as an excuse to party hardy. So he's telling Jeremiah to stay shy of those things, because he was going to bring a judgment in there. Hear what God's people should have done. Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. God had already marked his people. This was a type of Jeremiah here. That's how we should be today. Those are in the church that are knowing what's going on around us, that's knowing what's going on in life. What he says, he also cried in my ears with a loud voice saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lied toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. This is as in the book of Revelation. God's judgment is about to begin. Now, they're going to say the mark of the beast. Satan's going to... You know, everybody that received the mark of the beast. Well, look what God does, just what he did with Jeremiah here. That's just exactly what he did with Jeremiah, what he's trying to tell us. He says, verse 3, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereof he was to the threshing hole of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. That's as the priests were today. That's as Jeremiah was during that time, preaching to God's people, as the priests preach to his people today. And the word of God is what marks you. It's what gives you faith. It's what strengthens you and call you to God. So he said, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to others he said in his hearing, okay, go through first, mark out my people, the one that's worried about what's going on in the nation, the ones that's like me, as the president was the other day, having children, this really disturbs you. This going on in the nation, this really is disturbing. But we know that this has to happen because it's part of God's judgment. But we have an inward sigh and cry. Let it be known to God that those that didn't come before the church, those that didn't pray at home because of what's being done in our nation. And that's with the rulers, that's with the people, that's with all, because look how this state has gone. The way of the administration of this state, the way of the people, the way of the nation. So what we're crying against our family, you don't have family members that you cry actually about, they're involved in the wrong religion. They're involved in the wrong things in life. You don't have people that are at the city level, that are employer level, that are throughout the nation, that you crying about how the nation have went away from God. And that's what he's saying, mark those. That's going to be some that, like yesterday, that's for mourning, and that's just their way of being a Pharisee. That's the open mourning and sighing and crying, but it's not from the heart. See, these that the priest was marking has God's mark on them. A lot of those others has the world's mark. See, that's why I say some of it's the wrath of God being poured out. And the other is the chastening of God. God's punishment brings God's people to their knees, humbling themselves and turning to God, whereas that same judgment that's coming down is the wrath of God upon the godless, the people that are not following God, and it's going to get worse because what do? They turn to religion and call upon God's name in vain because they get up off their knees and do the same thing that they're accustomed to doing. There's no repentance in their heart. That they're coming in the church, they're not honoring God. They're honoring Him with their mouth, but their hearts are far from Him. They hadn't had the inward circumcision. And that's what makes it worse because they yet call upon God. So He says, and to the others He said in my hearing, go after him through the city and smite. Let your eye spare, neither have pity. Listen at verse 6. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come it not near upon any man on whom is the mark, and you go into church and start at my sanctuary. But I've marked those that are serious about this. But it's going to be so many in the church that don't have my mark. You'll be able to see that mark. They're going to have the devil's mark. I marked my people already. This is not going to come nigh them. He says, they that began at the ancient men, he said, then they began at the ancient men that which were before the house. Start at the old people first. Don't let them escape out of here. They old. They might get away with a heart attack or something. Kill them first. Because they had established this. So he says, why is this happening to us? What's going on, God? Why is this happening, Jeremiah? The 10th verse, he says, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore saith the Lord, had the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us, or what is our iniquity, or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then thou shalt say unto them, because your fathers had forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And ye have done worse than your fathers. You ain't no better than your fathers. You just like your fathers, and this corruption started way back during the time of Jeroboam. All the way before then, and it's gotten worse. And see, you've walked after everyone after his own imagination of his evil heart, that you may not hearken unto me. Therefore I will cast you out of this land. You see, this has been going on. It's just that the cup of iniquity has reached its full. If we go to Romans 2:1, they are inexcusable, he says. They are inexcusable for these things. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No, you shall not. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You see, instead of turning to the oppressed people, instead of turning to the sick, you cut out more programs. You give more to the wealthy. You keep on oppressing the poor. See, that's what this state has done. They've all but cut out government. And have they turned in repentance? No, they seeking more cuts. They seeking to deal this blow to those in the hospice center. They dealing this blow to those that are without. But that's what God said, that they will return to the older people and do this to the older people. So as the state do this to the older people, God's going to turn around and punish this for doing them to the older people. And that was part of the judgment on the older people, that he allowed the state to do this to them. You understand that? It's just like Assyria. He'll use Assyria to accomplish his purpose, though Assyria didn't know that God was using it to accomplish his purpose of defeating his enemies. But they were doing it because of the evil in their hearts, the administrations in this state. They're doing it because of the evilness and wickedness of their heart. That guy, John Bynum, when he comes in with tears and crying and this and that, he's not doing it for all Americans. He's doing it to save his job. He's thinking about self. He's thinking about his wealth. The nation already voted against what percentage should receive that tax increase. But see, he's doing this for another reason. But God is allowing that because you do have those that within the nation that has to go through this punishment, that has to go through this. But God has his people mock his people. So both of us, all of us goes through it, but God keeps his people doing this time. See, the ones that are of religious or of following God, this may be some of their punishment for not standing up for God and being what God calls them to be. You see, because during these times, instead of standing up to your family, instead of standing up for wherever you supposed to have stood up for God, you allowed this to happen. So God allows this to happen to you so that he can punish that wicked man for doing that to you. Are we understanding that? He allows that punishment, whether it be death, whether it be a loss of family relations, whether it be a loss of anything. He allows that to happen because that comes upon the children of disobedience for not abiding in God's word. Because you wasn't strong enough to continue in there, you wouldn't be an example unto the other children. Some men aren't good examples to the young men. Because you living a life that God hadn't designed for men to live. Or that woman's living a life that's not designed for women to lead. So let me move you out of the way so that other children or other young ladies won't see what type of woman you are. And that they could become godly women. Because you've progressed as far in the Lord as you could progress. Some men, that's as far in the Lord as you could ever go. Because you have no hopes and aspirations of going high because you had taken that talent God had given you and you've hid it. You see, God's people that are hungering and thirsty after righteousness, his word promised that they shall be filled. But if you no longer hungering and thirsty after righteousness, you didn't become complacent and God is saying what's going to happen, go happen. You will be part of these at the end of that chapter that says he's going to send fishermen and hunters to hunt you out. Some of those that's going to be hunting you are going to be hunting you to death. They're going to be hunting you as a snare. Some of them that are going to be hunting, that is the ones Jesus sent that made them fishers of men, that they will set Gentiles in the place where Jews was. The Jews that were in the kingdom, he says, shall be cast out. Because this was to Jews and Gentiles. Jeremiah's message was to Jews and Gentiles because in Abraham, there's no Jew or Gentile. We're all the same. And that's children of faith. See, Jewish people depend upon their Jewishness to get them to heaven. That's not going to get you to heaven. Christ is what gets you to heaven through faith, through believing and trusting and walking the walk. And that's why he said, those that were my people, I'm going to say, they're not my people. Those that I say were not my people, they are my people. The Gentiles shall come and worship me. That's where Jesus was sent, to be a light unto the Gentiles. Because the Jews didn't glorify God. They didn't glorify his word. He said, I'll give it to a nation that would bring forth the fruit that would glorify me. So those of your children that are not serving you, it's like a stepchild doing better than your actual child did. It's some children that treat their parents, their step-parents, better than their parents' actual children treat them. See, so what God does is looks at the heart. He looks at the tents of the heart. He looks at who's serving him and who actually has that fire burning. He don't look at the lukewarm. The lukewarm, he spits them out of his mouth, because you're neither hot nor cold. You're just sitting up in there, and it don't make no difference to you which way the wind blows. But he wants those that are red hot for the Lord. And that's why he tells Jeremiah that he's going to repay them. 18. And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double. Now if you take double, and you still stand, you still trust and believe on God, he's going to restore you. He's going to send you back to better standing. Because you've withstood chastening. Those like Job withstood chastening. I don't think Job's wife withstood the chastening. I think these children came from another wife. I think that wife was moved out of the way. That was the problem there, that wife. You know, sometimes, as we looked at the Shunammite woman, sometimes the husband is the problem. See, that was the problem with Naomi. Her husband was the problem. But if you would see, Naomi came back to the land with Ruth because the husband had been killed, him and his two worthless sons. Because the sons was just like him. That's why they didn't have children. That's where Boaz came in and had children by Ruth. And that was just like Naomi's children. That's where David came through that line. But see, Naomi's husband, he was a Jewish man, but he fed Judaism. And see, sometimes we like Jonah, we flee the face of God. But what God wants you to do is be like a Timex, take a lick and keep on kicking. You have to be endurable. You have to stand when nobody else is standing with you. You have to look unto God, and that's what he was telling Jeremiah. You look to me. Don't look for situation. I'm going to restore them, but right now, I'm going to pay those who have sinned against me. And see, in this day and time, instead of us trying to save ourselves from this untoward generation, we're trying to save everybody else. And he says, save yourself with fear and trembling. You work out your own salvation. It's everybody to the life raft themselves. You take the beam out of your eye. You examine yourself. And see, that's what he was telling Jeremiah. I'm going to consecrate you unto God. You let my word wash and cleanse you and sanctify you. I'm going to set you apart, because you need to just worry about yourself. See, that's how some people is. He says, even if Moses was in the land, if Noah, he said, I wouldn't hear them. Verse 1 of chapter 15. He said, then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could be not toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and cut them off. And don't care who else it is praying for you. You see, it don't care who it else is, I still wouldn't hear them. I'm homing in on you. See, God says no sin enter into the kingdom. You can't vouch for nobody else. You can only vouch for yourself. And you can't vouch for yourself, actually, because it was Christ who vouched for you. That's your advocate with the Father. He was your atonement. He covered. He was your propitiation. So how you will get somebody else in? How you will get somebody else in? Tell me that. So what you need to do is think whether you will get tied up with this world and this way. That's the mark of the beast there. That you've got the ways work, the world's way. That you tied up going as the world go. That you tied up in the things that the world do. When you carry it out with the season, they tell you, catch the spirit of Christmas. I tell you, that's a demonic spirit. You don't want the spirit of Christmas. They say, catch that spirit. That's a bad spirit to catch. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ will lead you and guide you into all truth and all righteousness. But don't be led by that any spirit. Come a time and it'll be days that we give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. But we have to stand strong in the Lord. Sometimes you have to stand alone. Sometimes you have to stand in. A wife could be mad at you. Your husband could be mad at you. Your children could be mad at you. Your parents could be mad at you. The people on. But who are you trying to please? Man or God? You men ought to obey God instead of man. Heavenly Father, help me, Lord God, as I try to deliver your word, Lord God. Let them receive clarity through your spirit and your understanding, Lord, that I couldn't just give with my speech, Lord God. That you, by your spirit, Lord God, make your word alive to them, Lord God. By the hearing of that word, Lord God, let it touch their hearts and open up their understanding to give them wisdom and knowledge, Lord God, to walk therein in Jesus.